You know, last week we were in the story of Adonijah in the midst of a beautiful, beautiful, sunny February day. It was a joke. It's known a lot. If you remember some of you, like, was it? Well, no, you were at home. And others of you are like, no, I wasn't. I was here. I know. 17 of us. It was awesome. It's just a little joke. I'm grateful for each of you. Hey, bottom line, just so you know, at Life Center, we don't cancel. And here's why. No shame to any other church, no judgment, but Walmart was open, Tim Hortons was open, Starbucks open, the house of the Lord's going to be open, okay? We're going to go. Just so you know. Now, if it's like a hurricane or something, well, stay home. And no shame if you did. I'm just saying we don't close. So last week in the story of Adonijah, desiring to be king, we saw the difference between anointing and ambition. And this week we want to go into 1 Kings chapter 3, and we want to contrast the difference between wisdom and volume. Just because something is loud doesn't mean it's right. Just because something is really noisy doesn't mean you should listen to it. We got to discern the difference between wisdom and noise and volume. And how many of you know that sometimes noise out there reverberates in here? It can get on the inside. And when it gets on the inside, then it's not even just the noise out there. It can become deafening on the inside of us. So we want to look at that. This is one of these stories. And so as we follow Jesus, rooting in the finished work of him, the sent Holy Spirit works in the unfinished work of our lives and in the unfinished work in the world that God loves. I love how H.B. Charles Jr. says it this way. It is the will of God to have the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the children of God look like the Son of God. I'll say it one more time. It is the will of God to have the Spirit of God use the Word of God to make the children of God look more like the Son of God. In other words, it is all working together what God is doing. And the same Holy Spirit who drew us to Jesus empowers us through the Holy Spirit with these specific spiritual gifts that we are to use for the common benefit of others. And one of these spiritual gifts is the word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom and word of knowledge is a particular spiritual gift that some of you have, that others of us need it through discipline. Some of you have it through the Holy Spirit. This is never to be confused with expertise or your level of education. You can have the top level of education and not have a word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Or you may have not graduated high school and the Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom and word of knowledge. So again, this is not to be confused with expertise nor level of education. In Convergence, John Thompson writes that words of wisdom and knowledge are God giving someone a situational or direct word about an issue that needs to be dealt with, a word of encouragement, or a situational insight how to walk in God's way and will for a moment. Wisdom is always, always valuable. But as the noise of our world amplifies, our need for wisdom increases. To be like and then to lead others to Jesus, we need both the providential knowledge and wisdom found in the Bible, and sometimes, everyone just whisper sometimes, sometimes we need a situational word of knowledge or wisdom for specifically the season we're in or what we're walking through. Let me explain. When I say a providential word from the Lord, I do not need God to tell me something personally if he has declared it providentially for every human. So if God says, forgive the one who has offended you. I don't have to wait for God to tell me that personally. He's already said it to every one of us, providentially. So in the Bible, we have these providential words that they don't need to be personal. They're there. They're for all of us. But sometimes what I need is a situational word of wisdom or word of knowledge for what I'm walking through. That is providential word is there, but I'm a little bit fuzzy. Do I take this job or not? Do I say this? Or how should I say this? Sometimes we need wisdom there. You with me? If you're a parent, we just had lots of them on the stage, y'all are gonna need a lot of wisdom. You're gonna need a lot of wisdom. And whatever culture, ethnicity, nationality, there's collective wisdom within cultures. We need to learn from one another. But sometimes the word of wisdom will go against what is cultural. Sometimes the word of wisdom is going to cut through. Well, this is how it's always been done, yet God wants to do something new, and it's going to cut. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see this New Testament foreshadowing of precisely this word of wisdom, words, knowledge, but we see it in God and a king by the name of Solomon. In the story that we're going to read today, there is God, there is Solomon, there are two women, there's an innocent baby, and there's a nation that is paying attention to what is happening. Solomon loves God, he's already king, and he asks God for one thing. Here's a great question. So leave money out of it, because you can't ask God for that. You can, I'm just saying in this hypothetical illustration, but leave money out of it. If you could ask for God for one thing, what would it be? All right, don't shout it out, just in your own little heart and mind. Solomon has this presented and he asks God for wisdom. He asks him for wisdom. He says, give your servant, in 1 Kings 3, verse 9 and 10, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people that I may discern between good and evil. Pause. If I took you all the way back to the book of Genesis, here's what I want you to know. God's heart was that we didn't have the weight of good and evil on our shoulders, that we had life. Yet we exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Essentially, we reject God and said, we can be God ourselves. We don't need you, Adam and Eve, the story of Adam and Eve. We bite from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The first thing we do is we cover ourselves. Religion is found in Genesis 3. It's what we do. We try to hide ourselves from God. And then God kills an animal, clothes them. You begin to see this sacrificial way, that grace that covers. So in other words, God's heart was that he would discern good and evil. But we say, no, 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 we got it. And now in the mess that we make, because we actually don't got it, God is working to redeem it. And Solomon asks God for wisdom to discern good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this. Can you see the relational heart of God here with Solomon? It pleases God to go, okay, I want to be here in the hard stuff. Aren't you glad God wants to be in the hard stuff? Not just the good and the evil, but the wisdom to discern what to do here. What should I say? How should I say it? God wants to be in this place. Solomon asks God for wisdom to discern between good and evil, and God grants it. And to use this gift, here's what I want you to know. God places him in the middle of conflict. Turn the person beside you and say, oh, yay. Those of you with the spiritual gift of wisdom often find yourselves adjudicating problems. And if you don't, you may not have the spiritual gift of wisdom. You may jump in with an opinion, and sometimes it's helpful, most times it isn't. It's just adding noise. But a word of wisdom cuts through all of it. And so God places in the middle of a conflict that requires precisely the gift that God gives him. Now a quick pause, a little breadcrumb, and then we're gonna dig, keep going. In Proverbs, which Solomon wrote a lot of these Proverbs, prostitutes are contrasted with lady wisdom. They seduce and they pull you away. It's not talking about the person, it's not judging, it's just using it as a contrast. And then there's lady wisdom over here that leads us to abide in Christ. Well, this is the situation with which Solomon begins to see that, and he learns from it, and then he writes these proverbs from it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 22. It says, then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. That is a heck of a way to start a story. Then one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, the woman also gave birth. And we were alone, so there's no witnesses. There was no one else in the house with us, only we two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him, just a tragic accident. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept and laid him at her breast and laid her dead son at my breast. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child that I had born. But the other woman said, no, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours. And the first said, no, the dead child is yours and the living child is mine. And it says, thus they spoke before the king. Can you feel everything that is in that story? So here are two women that are living in the same house. So there is poverty present. There is judgment present. There is shame present. There is grief present. There are cultural expectations that are present. There's the pressure on Solomon to get this right because a baby hangs in the balance. And here he is. Father, would you give me wisdom? Oh no. Now we've got conflict. He's got a problem. You don't need wisdom when life is very straightforward. It's clear. This person offended me. Should I punch them in the nose? No, you shouldn't. Yeah, but they deserve it. Still, you shouldn't. But you do need wisdom. Father, how do I engage this? Then what do I do with my feelings? Wisdom. If you think about these two women, how many of you know the noise on the inside of their lives is at volume 10? And here's Solomon. Solomon represents the highest court in the land. He is the Supreme Court. Once he makes a decision, there's no appeal. In 8 verses, there are sides. We don't know anything about sides in 2025, but you could imagine it. There is grief. There is poverty. There is judgment. They're just prostitutes. What does it matter? There is deception. There's dishonesty. There is subjective truth. She said, and then there is objective truth. What is actually true? This is a word against another case. So again, there's no other witnesses who exist. The one witness that is living is too young. King Solomon represents, as I've already mentioned, the highest court of appeal. An innocent life hangs in the balance. And a nation watches to see how their king is going to adjudicate this. In this exact moment, opinions and outrage, they are not helpful. They're not helpful. They're present because a whole nation is watching. We're going to read in a minute, but they're not helpful. A blame and shame is also not helpful. What Solomon needs is exactly what he asked God for. He asked God for wisdom. And specifically, he asked him for godly wisdom. So in everything that Solomon doesn't know, guess what? God knows what is true. God knows what is true. Solomon is, but God knows. God cares for us, but he doesn't live in the conflict that we experience. And you should be thankful for that. He's above it. He is empathetic. He cares. Everything that we've experienced, Jesus experiences. But he knows not just subjective truth, but objective truth. What Solomon needs is exactly what he asked God for, which is the aim of Proverbs that he writes. As a moment ago, I said, wisdom is really different from education or expertise. So you can be incredibly insightful in your field of study. That does not make you wise, biblically, okay? You can be someone who doesn't follow Jesus at all, and you can have an intellectual capacity that is astounding, but the Bible calls you a fool. It's interesting. It's just a different understanding. See, wisdom, Solomon says, wisdom begins with an ache. It begins with awe. It begins with a desire and a heart to know God. That's where it starts, Solomon says. Says if you want to be wise, it begins with this awe, this fear, this ache, this desire, this heart to know God. That's where it begins. And the desire for godly wisdom, sure, it can show up in our choices, but it first begins with, God, I fear you above all else. God, I want to know your heart, your way. I want to know you more than I want to know anything else. Father, I want to be well in my field of study, but greater than my field of study, I want to know your heart and way and will and purpose for my life? How are you at work in this situation or circumstance? He said it differently in Proverbs chapter 1, that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But the one who is wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just the fear of the Lord, the awe of the Lord, the ache of the Lord. And that doesn't mean just because you have that, you're smart everywhere else. This is a problem that some Christians make. Well, because I have the beginning of wisdom, I fear the Lord, then I should step into places. As followers of Jesus, here's a providential word from the Lord or a situational world. Know your lane. Like if you have no understanding or education or even ability to discern anything over here, maybe don't give an opinion about it. Maybe. Some of you are like, that's not gonna stop me. I know. Nothing's gonna stop you. I remember when COVID happened. You remember when COVID happened? Some of you are like, nope, what's that? Don't remember it. I knew quickly what my lane was and what my lane wasn't. My lane was to call everybody to follow Jesus. Vaccinated or unvaccinated were not my, those were not my categories. My category was whatever you choose, how do you love the other one to become more like Jesus? I'm not playing a divisive game. We are both called to die to ourselves to become like Christ. How are we gonna do that? What does that look like? Yeah, and some of you are still going, coward, pick one. Nuh-uh, nuh-uh. I was amazed at how many pastors who had no biology degree were suddenly experts. Know your lane. Wisdom is knowing your lane. Okay, I'm gonna keep going. So wisdom, it says, here's what it says in Proverbs. Here's what he wrote. Beginning with the fear of the Lord, wisdom cries aloud in the street. So pause. We're not gonna pause a million times. If you wanna go somewhere, you've put an address into your GPS and your GPS navigates you on these things called streets. Turn left here, turn right here, right? So wisdom cries aloud when your life needs direction. When your life needs direction on that street, wisdom is there. Wisdom cries aloud on the street, in the market, in your job. In the noise of your job, wisdom is also there. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, watch this. Wisdom doesn't whisper. She cries out. At the entrance of the gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you would turn at my reproof, behold, I would pour my spirit out you. And then watch this. If you would turn your heart to God, if you would incline your ear to him, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, if you would turn to hear not just the providential word of God, but maybe the situational word of God, here's what he says, I will make my words known to you. But watch what, you can see it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful writing of Proverbs and how wisdom works. Wisdom is found amidst all the noise. It's just you and I learning to train our ear to hear it distinct from the noise. Wisdom is not found in seclusion. Some of you are like, I just gotta pull away and I just gotta hear. And when you pull away just so that you hear, you find the noise comes with you in here. And so sometimes it's a matter of trusting and saying, I don't need to be secluded from, I need to be present in, but attune my ear to hear godly wisdom in the midst of it. Like a parent can call out the name of their child in a busy mall and the kid hears the voice, different and distinct from every other voice, so you and I should attune our ears to hear what it is that God is saying to us. It does not need to be in private, it can be in the midst of a busy, busy mall. Or a busy location, it can be at a party. You could be out in the midst of the world and you heard your parents call your name. And if it sounded like this, Jason, supper. Don't pay attention to it. Don't worry about it, you had time. But when I heard this, Jason, Barry Boucher. I gotta go. I knew exactly what that meant. I had not used wisdom, and now wisdom had found me. That's what it meant. That's all that had to be said, and I got it. All my friends were yammering. I heard that. And this is all Solomon is saying.
The wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice at the head of the noisy street. She cries out at the entrance of the city gate. She speaks. Don't you love that God wants to make his word known to you? I love this. In each instance, wisdom is present, but so too is lots and lots of noise, and there is lots of noise in the world right now. King Solomon, two women, and an innocent life, and a nation are watching. That is a lot of noise. Wisdom from God is present and will make his words known. A quick little tidbit. I have found that the more I fall in love with my own voice, the harder it is to hear God's. For me, the more I fall in love with my own voice, the harder it is to hear God's. That's just me. The more I fall in love with pleasing a person, the harder it is to hear God's voice. And here's what I love. Before speaking to the women, Solomon listens in layers. Layer one, I hear you. Layer two, I hear and understand the circumstance. Layer three, I hear the situational godly word of wisdom above all else. And until I hear that, I'm not saying anything. This is what Solomon does. I hear you. I hear the circumstance. But Father, I've asked you for wisdom and you said you will give it. And so in this moment, I need wisdom. God, would you speak? Then it says, the king said. This one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. And the other says, no, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one. I hear you. You've both been heard. I understand the circumstance. Once again, and the king said, bring me a sword. Turn the person beside you and say, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought before the king. This is the Supreme Court. There's no appeal at this time. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Now, that don't sound like wisdom to me. That sounds like murder. Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death. But the other said, he shall neither be mine nor yours, divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the living child to the first woman, by no means put him to death. She is his mother. Watch, watch, watch. So this is wisdom in a situation, but watch what godly wisdom does. Godly wisdom glorifies God. And all of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered. Someone put it out on social media. Somebody put it on Facebook. And all of Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king. Watch why. Because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Oh, that we would be a people, that the world could perceive that there is wisdom in us, not just noise, not just opinion, and not just outrage. Though there's lots of things we can be noisy about, and we're allowed to have opinions, and there are things that we should desperately be outraged at. But in the midst of all of our noise, oh, that they would hear wisdom. As a parent, sometimes my disappointment is so loud that I struggle with the wise thing to say or do. And other times my shame is so loud over what I said or what I did that I struggle with the wise thing to do. And in that moment, here's the beautiful, beautiful thing. If we are humble enough to turn to the Lord and admit what we've done, good or bad, God can use all of it. But if we are stubborn and prideful and we double down, we just add to the dysfunction and the noise of our lives. Wisdom separated what the two women wanted. One of the women was in pain. She was in grief. And in pain was causing pain in an attempt to relieve her pain. Loved ones, that story is very prevalent in the world today. And I'm not, look it. The woman is right to be in pain. She's lost a child. But in pain, she's blinded by it. She can't see the pain that she's causing. Woman number two was willing to endure pain so her child could live, even if it was not with her. But God's wisdom is found in, but different from, volume, outrage, and opinion. His wisdom whispers. His wisdom whispers to the weary in this world today, there is more than all this noise. In the midst of this noise, loved ones, I promise you, there is wisdom. God gave wisdom to Solomon, who then led situationally towards justice. An innocent life is saved. A mom keeps her baby, and a nation stands in awe of God. God gets glory. Do you hear me? God gets glory, not the one with the gift. Like if I write something on a paper and I give it to you, you shouldn't get glory because all you did is read the paper. When you have a situational word of knowledge or wisdom from the Holy Spirit, all you're doing is reading a paper. It is the Spirit who gets worthy worship, not you. And let me just quick understanding here, and then we're gonna finish. Some of you have a spiritual gift of intercession. Here's how it's different from a spiritual gift of wisdom and insight. If you have the spiritual gift of intercession, sometimes God will show you something situationally, and other times he will show you something for a church or whatever it happens to be. But it's not for you to say anything. It's for you to talk to God about it and intercede it through. If you have the gift of word of wisdom or knowledge, it's different. Yes, pray about it. Yes, understand it. But it is for you to have courage to speak. If you have the gift of intercession, sometimes you're actually in front of the leadership of the church. And so the courage is not to speak it, but to speak it to God until it comes to pass, until God tells them. But if you have the situational word of wisdom or knowledge, it is to have the courage to share it with someone and trust God to minister through you. Just a bit of a differentiation there. And in our unchanging God, amidst the world, the noise of our world today, he will be faithful to lead us in our noisy lives and noisy streets. If, everybody say if we develop a heart to hear heavenly wisdom above all else. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11 says this. There are a variety of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. There are a variety of service, but it's the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them in all, in everyone. To each, everyone say to each. To the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you were also given a spiritual gift to help build up the body of Christ. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's not for your glory, it's for the benefit of somebody else. That's why if you don't give it, they can't be benefited. Where was I reading? Yeah. For to one, given through the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, that's what we're talking about today, to the utter knowledge, it's kind of the same gift, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, healing and miracles are different, understand that, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, what spirit is that, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of those tongues, and all are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as the Spirit wills. I want you to think about the stories of Jesus for a moment in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I want you to recall to mind right now, if you've been in church or know anything about Jesus, I want you to recall to mind how he would speak something with pinpoint accuracy that cut through all of the fluff and all the noise and got right to the heart. It is Jesus using the spiritual gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Precise. Today, as I close, and I'm really closing now, I would like for us to bring this to a finer point of expectation. First, are you facing a noisy situation where you need wisdom? If that's you today, come for prayer. Here's what we want to do. We want to lay hands on your ears so that you can hear and ask God to give you grace amidst the noise of your situation to hear wisdom. Not opinion, not outrage, and not noise. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Second, this is what we're also going to do. If you would like to ask the Holy Spirit for the spiritual gift of wisdom and knowledge, you're like, I don't have that. I don't think I have that gift. You can ask for it. Understand, if he gives it to you, you may be living in problems, but it's a good thing. You can ask the Holy Spirit for the spiritual gift. He may say yes, he may say no. I don't know. But all I know is this. You have not because you ask not. So sometimes you just gotta ask and trust God in his providence. But you can ask. Heavenly Father, in this moment that is so noisy in the world in which we live, we don't want to be a people just of opinion or just outraged or just with volume, living with volume. We want godly wisdom so that you can get glory. Holy Spirit, in this moment, for those who need wisdom, for a situation that they're facing where they don't know what to do, they don't know what to say, they don't know the step to take. As we lay hands on their ears in a moment, Father, would you cause them to hear your voice as they turn to you? Speak, Lord, for their listening. And as those who will posture their hearts to say, I'm going to ask you for the spiritual gift of the word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Father, I pray. Holy Spirit, we can't conjure it up. We can't make it. But if there are those who you want to give that gift to today, would you be gracious to do it? And then would you grow them in that gift once again so that you also get glory? Father, we thank you that you do not need to dial down the noise, but you do need to train us to hear your voice in the midst of it. So train us, Lord, we pray. And bless every parent. Train them to hear wisdom in the midst of the hardest job in the world. In your name we pray, amen.